are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It's August 8th, 2022, and it's really hot here in Philadelphia. We're about 102 degrees today. It's very, very hot. So I pray for all those who do not have air conditioners or fans that you will have a place to go. And perhaps if someone is listening, you can check in on your neighbor, because this is the type of heat that is very dangerous for many, many people. So let us pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for all that you're doing. We praise you and thank you for this hot day. We thank you and praise you for this amazing, amazing radio network. So we ask that you touch the hearts of all those who will be listening today, and bring the hearts of those who need to listen, to tune in and to know that you want to touch them in a special way. We offer up all the prayer intentions called into this radio apostolate today in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, brothers and sisters, you know we're in a battle, right? We're in a battle. And the Lord has called us to fight at his side for the sake of his kingdom. Are you ready? He wants all of us to be men and women who love, who inject his life into every situation we are a part of. And he wants us to be men and women who pray, who wield the weapon of intercessory prayer in order that his kingdom may be established in those around us. St. Paul tells us to stand firm. Stand firm. Can you do that? Can you stand firm? Stand firm in living a life of love. Stand firm in living a life of prayer. For it is through lives of love and prayer, lived in faithfulness, that God will change the world. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about surrendering your life and discerning your life in terms of what God wants of you today in the midst of this battle. Yes, we are in a battle. I hear every day from someone, and I see it myself. What in the world is going on? People are rude. Things are happening. You see on the news, how can we live in peace and discern carefully when all this chaos is around us? My friends, here are a few tips. God wants you in heaven. Yep, that's a fact. But isn't that a great thought today on this 104-degree day in Philadelphia? God's will for you is not to go to purgatory. God's will is not for you to go to hell. God's will for you is to go to heaven. Now, the ultimate will of God is for you and for me to go to heaven and be with him forever. God is not out to get us. I'm going to say that again. That's not correct theology. God is not out to get us. He wants to live with us forever, and he wants us to live with him and enjoy eternal life. And this is what he desires. And this is why he created you for a time such as this. This is why he created you and me. And once we actually realize this is the ultimate will of God, everything, my friends, flows from this reality. So right now, you need to make a decision to desire God's will in your life. Can you do that with me? Lord Jesus, I desire your will in my life. See, God does everything in his power to save us and to get us to heaven. And in fact, he gave up his only son for each of us. And he also gave you and me the gift of free will. He's not going to impose his will over your free will, so that we can choose to be with him or not. Now, are you ready to do that? Now, this choice is up to us, and it's an eternal one. So open up to Ephesians 1, verses 4, verse 6, that God chose us, so in his Son, before the world began, to be holy and blameless in his sight and full of love. The fear of God isn't terror. I'm going to say that again. The fear of God isn't terror. It's awe, A-W-E. The fear of God isn't terror. It's awe. Now, I want you to think about, now, this is one of my favorite things. Have you seen the most beautiful sunrise and sunset and stood there in absolute awe, humbled to nothingness? Maybe you've seen the birth of a child lately, and you felt like, whoa, that's the fear of the Lord. It is the realization you are God and I am not, and I am in awe of you. So Jesus was the best example of this. You see, we are saved by grace, period. But we've got to cooperate with that grace. I'm going to say that again. We're saved by grace, but we have to cooperate with that grace. And when we stand before God and he says, hey, Joey, Mary, Louie, Sammy, why should I let you into heaven? The only answer we can give is because Jesus Christ died for my sins. God will respond to you, friends. Prove it. Then you'll have to show him the way you lived. But again, salvation comes from the grace of God. This is why all Christians, Catholics, Protestants alike, have one theme song, Amazing Grace, with the telling words, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We're all sinners. And if we keep cooperating with God in this horrible battle that's underway, we are all saved by his grace and mercy. And when we surrender to God, then we can grow in his holiness, because holiness is who we are, not what we do. Many of us confuse that. Holiness is who we are. It's not what we do. It's very important, my friends, to understand this. We're holy because of our baptism, because we've been set apart for God's love, because God dwells in us, not because we're good people. This is found, of course, in the teaching of the church. Yes, it's found in the teaching in the church. Do you remember in the Baltimore Catechism, why did God make me? God made me to know him, to love him, to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in heaven. So God created us to be happy forever in heaven. This is the meaning of life. Did you know that? So Christianity, if you're just tuning in, isn't the focus on self. It's the forgetfulness of self. It's a surrender of love to God the Father. So when you and I fully surrender, that's when we become holier. So when you and I focus on our own little acts of holiness or acts of sin, we become Pharisees. Now, remember those Pharisees? They did everything right. How many of us are Pharisees listening today? How many of us think we were doing everything right? Well, the Pharisees thought that they didn't break the Ten Commandments. They didn't break the 700 commandments of Leviticus, but they could still be in hell. Why? They didn't break any commandments. It's because it was all about them, how they were going to earn holiness, how they were going to earn heaven. Well, this is a big lie. It's a big lie, people. This is not grace. This is not love. And this is certainly not God's will. So I want you to think about this question today on this hot, steamy day in Philadelphia. Why do I want to go to heaven? Why? Is it because I'm afraid of hell? Now, if this is your only reason, it's an act of selfishness. It's like saying, I don't want to go to hell, so I guess I'll go to heaven. Now, if this is the case, then our whole life of Christianity is focusing on that reality. Yes, our whole life. This should give us great hope that despite our moodiness today, our sins, good days, bad days, God is still calling us to be his saints. And it is only he who makes us holy, not us who make ourselves holy. It is he who makes us holy, not us who make ourselves holy. For the key to holiness, listeners, is daily surrender in our prayer. We need to long for God's will in spite of our own sinfulness. Can you think about that? We need to long for God's will in spite of our own sinfulness. See, the church isn't a museum of saints. Surprise, the church isn't a museum of saints. It's a hospital for sinners. Sinners on their way to becoming saints. This is the point. We're all in different stages of this journey today, as you listen, but we've all got to be on the journey. So this is what God is calling you and me to do today. He wants us to be with him forever. And the way we do this is to grow into the holiness that God is calling us to. It's a choice. He's not going to force it upon us. He's giving you and me a choice today. And then even though God wants us to all be in heaven with him, he still created hell. And why is this? Because if there's no choice, there's no love. Since God is a God of love, there must be a choice. Now think about that clearly. Think about it clearly. You have a choice. We need to be people who, no matter how crazy life gets, and it's really crazy right now, no matter how bad it gets, and we are in a big battle, know that God is bigger than everything. That's right. He's bigger than your finances, Medicare, immigration, adoption. He's bigger than all the sins. Remember that. He's bigger. So no matter how bad it gets on the earth, and it's pretty bad right now, our job is to bring the light of Christ to the darkness. Yep. Our job is to bring the light of Christ to the darkness. Our job is to bring the light of the kingdom and to shine the light of salvation to everyone. We are not to curse the darkness with everybody else. And when you watch the news tonight, and it's very biased, it seems that some Catholics are the most negative people in the world. They rant about what is wrong. They just go nuts. And then we have the response back to Christians. Christians are nuts. We hear that over and over again. Just pay attention. Put on your spiritual eyeglasses tonight and listen between the lines. Ultimately, when we surrender to God's will and leave it and live it in our lives, we begin to experience heaven on earth. Wow. Is that possible? We can experience heaven on earth by living in his will? You can say and mean it. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the name of the show, Thy Will Be Done. So surrender and go to heaven. So here are some steps to surrendering your life today. They're very simple. Decide you want to be more in love with God and begin to commit yourself to spending time with him. Be a saint. Do you want to be a saint? I do. The choice is yours. Give God permission. Your second goal needs to be desire God's will more than your own will every day. Now, the way you do that is to say, hey, God, your will be done in my life today. This was Jesus's prayer, and it also needs to be our prayer together today, listeners. Surrender to the Holy Spirit each day. Let him lead you and guide you. Let him lead you and guide you. For you see, if I give away everything I own, and if I hand my body over so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. That's from 1 Corinthians 13:3. 1 Corinthians 13:3. See, our job as Christians is to get out of the way and let God love through us. That's the hardest part of being a Christian, isn't it? We have to get out of the way and let Christ love through us. And somehow, we always get in the way of Christ, right? So the biggest temptation is to let our own ego get in front of everything else. And I know I can do that way too often. And it doesn't matter if thousands of people are listening to this radio program or not. If my work isn't done in love, it's for nothing. It's important for us to do God's work with love. And guess what? Some people, and I've heard this, think being a loving person means we're always nice. So if you think that, well, it's time to open up the scriptures. Christ was not always nice. Christ was not always nice. Remember, he once called a woman a dog. Mark 7, verse 27. In his humanity, Jesus had bad days and good days, like all of us. And he wasn't as if every time somebody came up to him, the nicest person with love oozing out of his veins. A lot of people would not welcome Christ in our churches today because he would make them feel uncomfortable, just like he made the people of his time feel uncomfortable. But he did everything in love. And sometimes love, my friends, is hard. Look at how you treat your children, and if you have them. And I bet that sometimes you punish them. It's because you hate them? No, it's because you love them. But while you're punishing them, they may think that's not a great thing, even though you're doing it because you love them, right? So we have to be careful when we talk about living a life of love and service. Love means that you do what's best for people to get them into heaven, not what's best for you. Love means that you do what's best for people to get them into heaven, and it's not what's best for you. And that's what love is. That's what love is. Jesus did what he did for the love of us to get us into heaven. And that means he had to die for us. So when you're going to love people, when you're going to die for them and put them in front of yourself, then your attitude must be that of Christ. He accepted even death, death on a cross. So you can go to Philippians 2, verse 8. So this is one of my favorite examples. Padre Pio. Wouldn't you be petrified to go to him in confession? If you've ever read anything by him or any of the stories about him, you know why. Could you imagine if you just held back one sin from him? Just one sin. He'd probably throw you out of confession. Padre Pio threw a lot of people out of confession. He did a lot. He would sometimes tell a person, no, you're not ready, get out. Whoa, did he hate those people? No, he didn't hate them. He loved them. And he wanted them to go to heaven. So he had to do things to shock them, to get them to see the reality of what they were doing. So Padre Pio did indeed throw people out of confession. Sometimes love is like that. But love always entails giving your life for others. So Jesus commands us in John 13, verse 34, love one another as I have loved you. And then he says, there's no other greater love than this, than to lay down your life for your friends. He was the perfect example of love by dying on the cross for us. So when we're going to do the will of God, we're going to have to do it whether we feel like it or not. And most days, many of us would not feel like it. That's one of my favorite scriptures in the parable of the two sons where, you know, it's Matthew 21, 28 to 32, and the father tells the one son to go into the vineyard and do this and that, and the other son says, absolutely not, I'm not doing it. Then the father tells the other son, okay, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Then the first son who said he wouldn't do it did it anyway. Then the second son who said he was going to do it didn't do it, as Jesus asked. So which of the two did what the father wanted? And we all know the answer. So the old saying goes, the road to hell is paved by good intentions. I remember that from my childhood. The road to hell is paved by good intentions. We need to do whatever God asks, and it's as simple as that. Are we going to do God's will even if we don't want to? Well, that's the real question, isn't it, friends? Even if we don't want to, do we want to do God's will? Of course we do. Of course we do. I know that it's so different from what we hear from so many preachers today. Too many preachers preach that God just wants to bless us and have us to be happy on earth, but God loved his son more than anyone or anything. And if he asked his son to deny himself for others, how much more will he ask of you and me? Look, being a Christian or a disciple of Christ is not about what we feel. It's not about feelings. It's about doing what Jesus wants. Being a Christian has nothing to do with feelings. I'm going to say it again. It has everything to do with action. So do it anyway, even if you don't feel like it. And this is how you carry out the reality of true love in your life. Think of St. Therese, the little flower. She couldn't stand someone in her convent, in her community. And every time this other sister walked in, the little flower would sit there and think, oh, but then she would go out of her way. She would go against her feelings to treat that sister with great love and compassion, and to do nice things for her. Yep, that's the truth, to do nice things for her. So one day, if you read the book, The Story of a Soul, the sister came up to her and asked, why do you always smile at me? Why are you always so kind, even when I treat you badly? So again, I ask you to read The Story of the Soul. It's all in there, my friends. And some people I know who are listening would say, well, that's hypocrisy. So other people would say, that little flower was laying down her life for someone else. She died to her feelings to be an instrument of God to somebody else. Now, the reality is there are some people that seem impossible to love. I want you to think about who they are right now. There are some people who are impossible to love. Do you think God's calling you to love them today? Indeed. Think about the person you just can't stand. The person that hurt you, the person who rubbed you the wrong way. Now, do you have a clear image of them right now? You might be in the car, the kitchen, your desk, taking a walk with a headset on. Are you feeling all those negative feelings for them? Well, that's how much you love God. Do you hate me yet? That's what God is saying. Love is hard. It's not like we hear all our modern love songs, and love begins when you're willing to lay down your life for the person on the bottom of your list. The one who can't stand you, the one you can't stand. That's love. I love to say that when we begin to know what it is to love like God, then we start to hope that the person we can't stand the most gets to sit right next to us in heaven for all eternity. Oh, is that a hard thought? Think about the person on your list who's at the bottom that you can't stand the most. Think about them sitting on your right in heaven for all eternity. This is why we need God's amazing grace. It takes a God of the universe to love others in us and through us. And the person on the bottom of your list, and I have such a sense of many listeners today that have a notebook of pages of list, someone whom God loved and gave his life for us. I want you to be my instrument of love to that person today. That's what he's saying. He wants us to be an instrument of love to that person today. God encourages us. That's what I want you to do. I want you to be love in a world that does not know how to love. And guess what? We see that all the time. All the time. For such a time as this, we are in a battle. St. John of the Cross said, where there is no love, put love. St. John of the Cross. Where there is no love, put love. And then you'll find love. I'm going to read that again. Sink in to your chair, your headset, your thoughts right now. Where there is no love, you put love. And then you'll find love. God can change hearts if we surrender them to him. Do you believe that? As many of you know, Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa, one of my favorites, had a little sign in her convent in India, and it said, the fruit of silence is prayer, the fruit of prayer is faith, and the fruit of faith is love, and the fruit of love is service, and the fruit of service is peace. Try to find that, look it up, and maybe get it framed and put it on your refrigerator. Give it a try. It's wonderful to put these sayings on your refrigerator so you can meditate on them. What we have to do is take care of all the people who are least on our list. But we also have to watch out for false humility. Whoa, we're going to do a special program on false humility. You know what I mean? You know, the person who says, oh, I'm not worthy. I'm too fat. I'm a lowly worm. And they play the holy game. And there's a lot of false humility that makes oneself in around the church. Oh, I can't. She's holier than me. She prays 10 rosaries. She goes to Mass every day. I'm not holy. People think they're holy if they have it. I think the exact opposite. When the Mother of God was asked to be a Mother of God, she did not say, oh, I'm not worthy. You better pick somebody else. Nope, she didn't say that. She just said, fiat, let it be done to me as you say. She said, fiat. See, humility is truth. It's truth about who we are. It's knowing ourselves intimately, but it's not a focus on self. I believe that false humility is always focused on self, and true humility is always focused on God and others. Now, we're not talking about hating ourselves. We're talking about living our lives for others, and you can't do that unless you love yourself. Did you hear that? You can't do that unless you love yourself. Jesus wants us to love ourselves. So, my friends, after this commercial break, we have so much more to cover, and I pray that you stay with us. And when we come back, we'll be talking about steps to surrendering your life to the Lord.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road? As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done. And we're talking about surrender and to God's will and how do we get to heaven? You know, is heaven on earth? You know, where is heaven? And how to overcome false humility. There are so many things that we're covering today. But I also want to tell you that next week, I have a special guest. We're going to be talking about aging, gracefully aging, and how we can learn to embrace the gift of wisdom and the beauty of aging. So I have a special surprise guest coming on next week talking about aging and the graceful moments of aging. So be sure to tune in next week. So let's get back to what we were talking about. So we're talking about steps to surrendering one's life to God. So ask God how he wants you to love and serve others. Tell him you will do anything that he asks. Now write down the names of the people you don't like and start asking God to change your heart towards them so that you can love them the way he does. Now, I'm going to say that again because many of us write down the names and say, change their hearts. Write down the names of people you don't like and start asking God to change your heart towards them so that you can love them the way he does. Become an intercessor and start praying for people. Learn to offer things up. Unite your suffering with the suffering of Christ and start and watch the transformation of the world. So when it comes to discerning God's will, friends, a person must be free to discern. So we can't be a slave to anything, to our passions, to the world, to the devil, to anything. We need to be free. And I'm, for some reason, it just flashed before me that someone who is listening is addicted to gambling, that television gambling and the phone gambling. You're not going to casinos, you're gambling. Boy, is it very strong in prayer that you are addicted in your phone and on television to the gambling. And you cannot be free to do God's will till you discern and ask God to help to take away this addiction. So you are listening right now, and this word is for you. We need to be free to discern. We can't be slaves to addictions, to alcoholism, to drug addictions, to infidelity, to impurities, to pornography. We cannot be a slave to anything. We need to be free. But how do we become slaves? And Jesus tells us over and over again in the scriptures that anyone who sins is a slave. Anyone who sins is a slave. And I know that this is the exact opposite of what the world says. So the world says when you're doing God's will, all he does is put rules on you. And when you live by these rules, you're a slave to God. So in one way, that's true, but you can preach a lot that you've got to be a slave to Jesus Christ. But Paul, St. Paul, introduced himself, I, Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. When we read the lives of the saints, a lot of them made themselves slaves of Jesus and of the Blessed Mother. But is this a slavery of love? It's a free slavery. It's a slavery that we choose. And we desire because we're in love with Almighty God who loves us so much. Many of us have made the de Montfort consecration to be a slave of Mary. And unless you understand it, you can't really comment on it. Look it up. St. Louis de Montfort, the consecration to become a slave of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Blessed Mother. So it's as if you have a bucket within a hole in it, a hole in it today, right? You have a hole and you can put anything you want in that bucket and it goes whoosh right through, or a sieve. Perhaps you're draining some noodles and whoosh, it goes right through. Money goes through it, right? Money goes through it. Your gambling, your pleasure, your boats goes right through it. Your drinking goes right through it. So fill it up. Anything you want, go for it. It's going to go right through, right? That's all you've seen. If you're really honest with yourself, it's going to go right through. And you might be happy for a moment, a day, a couple days, maybe even a couple years. It's going to pass on through with that hole in the bucket, and you're going to be empty. For you see, the only thing that will fill up our emptiness is something that is eternal. And the only thing that is eternal in God is his love. So when you try to fill up the emptiness with other things, you're going to stay empty. Empty tanks. You're going to be a slave. However, when you fill it up with the love of God, you're going to have peace and freedom, because now you're not concerned about yourself. You're whole and fulfilled. Now you're going to be more concerned about others. Now you can live a life of gratitude. Isn't this the exact opposite of what the world tells us? Isn't it? Everything against the will of God only leaves us empty, makes the hole inside of us bigger and bigger. That's why you have to do it. Whatever it is, again, again, and again. And when it happens, is that you become slaves to these things. You become slaves to the phone gambling, to the TV gambling that's pulling you in. You think, I just have to play one more time, and I know I'm going to win and pay off the mortgage. How many of us listening are doing that? Or I need one more drink, just one more drink. Or I can look at pornography just one more time. You have to keep doing it over and over again. But Jesus said, listen, you're a slave, but I've come to set you free. I've come to set you free. Because the truth is, my friends, is that God came to set us free. Do you and I live in freedom, or do we live in slavery? Ask yourself that right now. Are you a slave to something? Are you a slave? You can be a slave to exercise. You overeat or you overexercise. By definition, a Christian should always have peace, and peace should be our regular state of being. And often, by the way, when Jesus met the apostles, after he rose from the dead, he would say, what? What would he say? Peace be with you. This is my gift to you. My peace I leave you, from John 20, verse 26. Christians should have peace in their hearts. So regardless of the battle we're in right now, we should have peace in our hearts. And if you don't have peace, it's usually because of one or two things. Guess what they are? This is when I wish, maybe one of these days I'm going to open up the lines. The first one is because you're in sin. The first one is because you're in sin. And the second one, that peace, you need to repent of that sin. I encourage you to go to confession. Encourage you to make an appointment and go to confession. And after you've repented, you're sorry, and gone to confession, you still don't have peace? If you still don't have peace, then guess what the second thing is? You look as if you're doing the will of God. Oh, yeah, you're running ministries. You're running around. You're doing things at the church. If you're not doing God's will, you aren't going to have peace. So that's what I'm trying to share with you. If you're not doing God's will, you could be running all the most famous ministries in the country. If that's not God's will, you're not going to have peace. If you haven't repented for your sins, you're a slave to those sins. So sin, boy, we don't hear that anymore, do we? It's doing things our way instead of God's way. This can be virtually anything. It can even be good things if they're against the will of God. Really? You do realize that the God that we're talking about is a God of surprises, don't you? He loves to surprise us. He loves to come to us in ways we aren't expecting. Remember John the Baptist's desire? I want you to really start studying the sacred scriptures. Do you remember John the Baptist's desire? He must increase and I must decrease. I know Kathleen uses that all the time before retreats. He must increase and I must decrease. John 3, verse 30. You see, John the Baptist humbled himself and exalted Jesus. And that's what we have to do. If we aren't doing this, we've got to repent for doing it our way instead of God's way. Now, how do we do that? Make a daily examination of conscience. We learn that, too, in the Baltimore Catechism, to make a daily examination of conscience. What did I do wrong? Who did I hurt? I'm sorry, Lord. What did you do? To be forgiven of any of our sins, the number one thing that's necessary is repentance. And that means simply to be sorry. Repentance is different than being sorry. Oh, repentance is different than being sorry. When we're trying to discern God's will, by the way, we've got to be more than sorry for our sins. Really? Yes. When we're trying to discern God's will, we have to be more than sorry for our sins. We've got to be repentant of our sins. People of God know this. It only takes one little thread to keep a bird from flying. Just one. So it is that one mortal sin in our lives will keep us from doing all that God wants us to do. Just one habitual sin, which may be watching pornography, drinking, gambling, impure thoughts, lying. One habitual sin will keep us from being what God wants us to be. And we have to really think about these things, don't we? We really have to think about these things right now. And that this is the intent of this radio broadcast. For you see, sin and forgiveness is always a communal thing. Sin and forgiveness is always a communal thing. And did you know that the Irish monks made confession more private, like we have today? Did you know that? Because there were so many people, and the monks had only a limited amount of time. Private confession was developed. Now, you can have it the way it is today, or you can go back in the way it was. So anybody wanted to go back to the way it was and make public confessions in church every Sunday? I don't think so. Wouldn't that be great? Now, how come you're not laughing? You would stand in front of the church and share your sins? Well, the Irish monks made it private. So isn't it interesting that forgiveness was not given until after the penance? And that's the way it was in the church from the beginning. But it's been changed to help us even more. It's been changed. How do we get free from struggling with sin again and again and again? You may be asking us. I'm trying. The Word of God, John 8:31-32, says, Jesus then went on to say to those Jews who believed in him, if you live in my word, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the key. So if you live in my word, not so hard. Pick up that dusty Bible that Grandma left you that's huge sitting at the end of your hallway. It's not meant to be a table topper. It's meant for you to read and pray and study. Can you do that? I know we had one at the end of our hallway on a table, a big Bible. Well, I have a big Bible here. I gave one to both of my daughters. So if we're going to discern God's will, we must be free of personal sin, or at least we need to repent of personal sin, because none of us is going to be free of it completely. So the next thing we need to do is to make sure we live a life of forgiveness, because Jesus was very clear about this throughout his teachings. So if you go to the book of Matthew, Jesus taught the people the Lord's Prayer. And then he says, if you forgive the faults of others, your heavenly Father will forgive your sins. If you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you. For you see, there is no way you or I can do God's will if we do not forgive everyone who has hurt us. Yes, remember the list we talked about a couple minutes ago. We talked clearly about that list. Begin making a daily examination of conscience. Develop this practice for the rest of your life. And when the Spirit convicts you of your sin, repent. Show God that you're sorry. Start the habit of monthly confession, unless you commit a mortal sin. Then get to confession as soon as possible. And be a person of forgiveness. Forgive everyone who has ever hurt you. Do you remember the act of contrition? Oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended thee. And I detest all my sins because of thy just punishments, but most of all because I've offended thee, my God, who art all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve with the help of thy grace to sin no more and to avoid the near occasions of sin. Jesus lives inside of you, and your job is to get out of the way and show people Jesus Christ. Can you do that? He wants us to be an icon of himself, an icon that people, when they look at us, will see Jesus. You see, every time you do the will of the Father, you're going to die every time, but you do not get stuck on the dying part. You die so you can rise. It's when you die that you gain life. And this is what Jesus did. When Jesus looked at the God the Father and said, "Your will be done," what did he do? He went to the cross and he died. And when you and I say, "Your will be done," to the Father every day, sometimes today, God's going to be asking us to let us die out of love. Because there's no love without sacrifice. So if you love people, you're going to get out of the way and die for them in little ways. Now, I don't mean physically die in a casket. I'm talking about letting go of things. For instance, there's only one piece of pie left in the refrigerator tonight, and you're starving. I can picture that apple pie in the refrigerator, only one piece left when you come home from work, and you're starving, but you know your husband or wife wants it, or the kids want it, or your brother or your sister wants it, and you say, "Okay, I'm going to eat that piece of pie. I'm going to give it away." "Oh, no, I'm not going to eat that piece of pie. I'm going to give it to you." Or another example would be, oh, let's say you're a man watching a football game tonight, and you're having your beer, and your wife comes walking into the room, and you stop and look at her and say, "Oh, sweetheart, I love you," and hand her the remote control to the television and say, "We'll watch anything you want to watch tonight." That's a little way of dying, isn't it? That counts for having the mind of Christ. It's the little things that we do, going out of our way. You pick up flowers for your wife, or you pick up a special dinner for your husband. And when you make your husband's lunch, put a little "I love you" note in the lunch, or you do something special for your wife or your mother, if you're listening. If you're living with your mother or father, you do something very special for them. That's the way of dying. You give up yourself for them. We're all called to bring the face of God to the world. So when we're discerning, what does God want me to do? So if you're just tuning in, what does God want me to do? We have to recognize that we need to be Christ in the world. And when we are discerning God's will, what does God want me to do? I'm going to say that 50 times a day. We need to ask, how does he want me to be his son or his daughter? If you will, in the world wants to see Jesus people. People do not want to see us. Remember the words of John from the beginning of the chapter, sir, we would like to see Jesus and show people Jesus Christ. Yep. This is the core of what it means to follow Jesus. We need to be Jesus so people see Jesus in us. One saying often attributed to St. Francis, I love this one, is preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. And guess what? This means that the way we're living right now, at this moment, speaks so loudly that it really does not matter what we're saying. We must go through the cross, but not stay there. We must go through the cross, but not stay there. So it really comes down to this, my friends. It really comes down to some basics. Do you really want to be with Jesus? Do you really want to be with Jesus? He wants to be with you, and he proves it by waiting for you each and every day. He waits to become one with you in the intimacy of his Holy Eucharist. If you don't have a habit of daily Mass in your life, try to develop one. If you cannot do it immediately, try once a week, maybe twice a week. He wants to develop a relationship with you. I love this saying. Every time I pass a church, I stop and make a visit. So when the time comes when I'm wheeled in, God won't say, hey, who is it? At the end of your life, when Jesus asks you, Sam, Martha, Joe, Frank, Mary, do you want to be with me forever? You want to be able to answer, oh, yes, Lord. That's why I spend time with you in the scriptures. That's why I always spend time with you in the Blessed Sacrament. So he'll then look at you and say, you've proven to me you just want to be with me. Now I will give you myself forever. The way we live every day is how we'll live for eternity. So to become Christ in the world, we're going to have to die to ourselves, my friends. We're going to have to get into his mindset, and then we must become Christ to the world. We do that best through receiving the Holy Eucharist, spending time with him in the sacred scriptures, examining our conscience, daily Bible, daily Mass, daily offering, and Eucharistic adoration, the keys to us learning to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. St. Francis de Sales, I love this, and I want you to remember it, said everyone needs at least 1/2 hour of prayer every day. Except, of course, if you're busy, then you need an hour. So God does not give signs, but looking for them is not an act of trust in God. It's about my wanting to see what my options are about. If you're going to discern the will of God in your life right now, you need to be patient. You need to listen. And you need to commit yourself to prayer. For you see, prayer is the only way you can hear God's voice. Whatever you want, Lord, I want. And I'm so grateful, Lord, for what you've done for me. When you and I say, your will be done, it means everything in our lives today, except for sin, which is going against the will of God in our life, will be God's will for us. Make sure, even if you're having a miserable day, thank him. Your will be done. Your will be done, even if you're having a miserable day. No matter how the day went, we thank God that we have all seen his will and his salvation. It was the prayer of Venerable Charles de Foucauld. He was a hermit who founded the Little Brothers of Jesus. I was very blessed to do one of the only videos on his life, a documentary. He was also a man who had great excesses in his early life. He was an agnostic. He had great parties, and I still have that sense of somebody having great parties and gambling, and a great time with women before he came to a conversion. And after that, he went to spend his life with the hidden Jesus. So he moved to Nazareth and spent the time as a hermit. He worked with the Arabs and died among them, and one of his prayers is the prayer that I'm going to leave with you today. And again, it's Charles D.E. Foucauld, F-O-U-C-A-U-L-D. Look him up. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I am ready for all, I accept all. Let only your will be done to me and in all your creatures. I wish no more than this, O Lord. Into your hands I commend my soul. I offer it to you with all the love of my heart, for I love you, Lord, and so need to give myself to you, to surrender myself into your hands without reserve and with boundless confidence, for you are my God. If you are depressed right now, my friend, keep saying this prayer. I abandon myself. I accept all. Surrender myself in your hands, for you are my Father. Pray this before the Blessed Sacrament. Pray this before you open the Sacred Scriptures. This prayer will help you to surrender to the will of God. This prayer will help you. And when you abandon yourself, the Lord will take care of you. Maybe not instantly, but he's going to take care of you because he has to. He's your daddy. He loves you more than you love yourself, and surrender every single day. Give yourself to him. Hand over to him the control of everything in your life. He will do the rest. Trust him. Trust him. And when we go into the presence of God, we get to experience eternity while we're still here on earth. We get into the nowness of God, and the rest of our struggles are put into perspective. This too shall pass, my friends. It will. But we have to make sure that we have a committed time in our lives. Are you willing to do this? Are you willing to surrender your life to the Lord? For if you're going to be faithful, figure out times in your day for daily prayer. Realize it must be consistent. Realize it must be consistent and heartfelt. Can you do that? For you see, the first thing that you have to realize when you're trying to discern the will of God is that God, yes, has a plan for your life. And he's not sitting back saying, okay, go for it. Well, you can do anything. You can do what you want or what he wants. It's your choice. So until next week, I pray that you will be blessed with God's abundant love, that you will tune in to what he has desired for your heart and your family. So until next Monday, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. And remember, next Monday, we were going to be talking about aging gracefully with a very special guest who will be talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit for those who are aging and how to age gracefully. God bless you, and may you have a beautiful week. God bless you.